All right. Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate it very much. Yesterday was a very special day, and throughout this year will continue to be very special as we continue to celebrate and to remember our country's birth. I always thought of the Declaration of Independence as America's birth certificate. You know, declaration unto all the world, and also to the motherland, England, that we were free, that we were independent, but yet we were all one. And this did not come about by diplomatic means or by negotiation at tables where nations meet together, but it was purchased with blood. It was purchased with discouragement. It was purchased with death. But yet, here we are, as she said. And you know, those that paid the price, some of them are not with us today because they rest in the silent city of the dead. But yet, they are remembered, every one of them. I'd like to, at this time, take the opportunity to have all of the veterans that are with us today to stand wherever you're at. Thank you all. And I don't take this lightly whenever that I say this. Thank you for your service to us. Kind of in line with what's already been done, I'd like to read just an excerpt here. It's not very long, but yet it says basically some things in line with what's been said and what's been sung already. I do not know the author, but I do know that this author had a very, very deep love for this country. Amidst the fields of amber grain and skies of purest blue, we see the Lord's protecting hand make every promise true. From mountain peak to shining sea, His grace is freely poured, a sacred light that guides our steps by land and sea and fjord. The brave who fought and walked the path through wilderness and night were strengthened by a higher power to champion what is right. For liberty, take note of this today, for liberty is not just earned by mortal sword or pen. It falls and it flows from God's unfailing love to lift the hearts of men. O land of hope, O land so free, by His strong mercy blessed, in Thee we trust, in Thee we stand, our nation's surest rest. I don't think that I could add very much more to what's already been said or done. But we do know today that what we appreciate, what we have here today, did not, as we said, come easy, that a price was paid, and those that love liberty answered the call. I went back to get some water a while ago, and opened up the refrigerator. And this had been in here for quite some time. I guess it, you could say it's cold, hard cash. And it's not been laundered. I usually have bills that are laying out on the washing machine as a reminder, empty your pockets when you get your laundry ready. So I guess that's a type of money laundering, isn't it? But anyway, I just thought also I'll use this to ask you, and I'm sure you already know, whose image is on this dollar bill? George Washington, right. He's termed the father of our country. He was the first commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. I think one of the things that always gets me whenever that we see pictures of Washington is where that he's bowed within the snow, horse by his side, praying unto God. And I'm so thankful today I have this privilege, this opportunity to be with you today. Our remarks will be hopefully rather short, and be careful whenever a preacher says that somebody amen me. I think I know who it was. But anyway, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, and starting with the 28th verse. I'm sure that this has been read time and time again. I'm sure there's been others that have preached on this, but I thought that it was fitting for this day, and God led us towards it. The 28th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And I always call this the Liberator's chapter. Previously, he had said to a woman that was condemned and about to be executed, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Others we find, it says, "I'm the light of the world." And then we come down to this, and he is confronted by those who are in bondage, who were blind, who themselves were condemned. And then Jesus said unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Now this is one of the few scriptures I want you to mark in your Bible and probably to go back and read at some leisure time. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him and said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage unto any man. And how sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son," that is Christ Jesus, "abideth ever." And this is the second one. Mark it in your Bible. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You correctly read this is the 28th to the 38th chapter of the book of John. Our text that we will refer to that is our theme for this service today is found over in the 5th chapter of the book of the Galatian letter, where that the Apostle Paul says and writes these words, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith that Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." 250 years. Who would have imagined that this nation would still, this great experiment as it's been called, would still be in existence. You see, there wasn't just the Revolutionary War that kept it going or that won its freedom, but it's been ever since. That's why I've asked veterans to stand. That's why that I honor them as they are due the honor. We've kept it going. And oh, by the way, I want to remind you that this is the year, the 175th anniversary of this church. Now, we haven't been around as long next year. Okay. Strike that. I'll announce that later. But at any rate, we've achieved a liberty. Many may not agree with us on that, but you know, I've watched. How many of you watched the World Cup soccer matches? A lot of people, yeah, from other countries. They've come here, been in all kinds of cities. You know, they've been able to sample our cuisine. There was one of them that said, you know, my favorite chocolate now is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I'm not sure what country he was from, but another one said, I love this ranch dressing. And another one said, biscuits and gravy. I hope that they have that back in the country and can make that more often. I'll always think of this country if I have biscuits and gravy. They appreciated what they were able to sample. They were envious of the freedom that you and I enjoy. The freedom to assemble together, the freedom of speech, the freedom today to not worry about someone beating down your door, to incarcerate you, even though you may say something that doesn't quite agree with the government. And that's always been good, because debate is good. Debate and discussion, that's where that ideas come from. It's when we sit down, beat our swords into plowshares, and we began to sow and we began to plow the unfurrowed soil of ideas and of wisdom. And those people that come here really, really appreciate that. And they wish that they had that in their country. So we have been blessed. We may not think so, but you have been blessed. I have been blessed, all of us. But we find today that the greatest earthly independence that we have, that we celebrate today, and this is not to cast disparagement upon it, but the greatest freedom is not one that was forged with the hands of those that fought at places like Valley Forge, or Gettysburg, or Flanders Field, or at Normandy, or at Da Nang, or at other places like that. But the greatest freedom that was forged by hands was by hands that underwent this, that bought freedom for us, that you may not think about often, but it's the foundation, the bedrock, if you will, of our freedom that we have today. It's the freedom that Christ Jesus purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, I want you to know there's a saying that says freedom is not free. And that if you ever walk through a military cemetery or section of that, think about that. Freedom is not free. There's always a price that is paid for it. Someone lays their life down to have the freedom that you and I have today. And so it is spiritually. Someone paid the price for us to be set free from the bondage of sin. The Bible tells us in one place that we're all sinners. We've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. And we find that it says that you know not that whom you yield yourselves servants unto, those servants you are, whether unto unrighteousness, unto sin, unto death, or righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. There's no in-between when it comes to the liberty and the freedom that we have in Christ. You either are saved or not saved. You are set free or still in bondage. Glad that one day Christ Jesus set me free. You know, that's my Independence Day that I celebrate, thinking back of how that God saved me on August the 29th, 1971. And you know, just as much as I wanted to be free, and as much as nations want to be free, in every human being, there is that realization that they need to be set free. Not to be content, realizing today that there is something missing. There is something that is not there. There is something that no revolution can satisfy, that inner longing. That only comes by someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ, breaking the bondage of sin and sin unto death in our lives. Ephesians tells us over in one place, says, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. You know, I thought I was having a great time at the age of 17. I wasn't too sure about what the future held, but boy, that didn't matter. As long as I had a car to drive, I'm sorry, honey, I had a date on Friday nights, every Friday night. But it can't match what you are, yeah. And as long as I could circle around at Bagnell Dam, blasting the stereo, boy, nothing bothered me. I was on top of the world. But I want you to know that there was something down deep inside of me that was not satisfied. There was something that was missing. And that's why that I didn't like going to church at that time, because I was so condemned and convicted by the gospel. Until one day, while volunteering for work on Sunday to get out of going to church so I wouldn't be convicted, working in a store warehouse, God really got a hold of me. And I want you to know God is everywhere. You don't have to be in a church. I don't recommend the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together, but you don't have to worry or have to think that God is just limited to this house. He is able to reach out anywhere, touch whomsoever will. My youngest son is an example of that also. Jacob was under conviction going to school. And I know that we live in a day and a time where that Bible reading is forbidden. But you know, they cannot keep the Holy Spirit out. Because he bowed his head. He was so burdened. He bowed his head on his desk. And by the grace of God, God saved him there. And the first thing that he did, the teacher asked Jacob, do you have something that you want to tell us? And he said, yes, God just saved me. And he just redeemed me. And I want you to know I'm satisfied that he's not the only one who's been saved in places like that, where that it's thought that we cannot get the gospel in. You cannot keep the gospel out. It's going to get in there somewhere. It has been proclaimed, it's been reported throughout our world since the day that Jesus ascended unto heaven. And we find today that he was the only one, he was the only one who could fight the battle at Calvary that was needed. My friend, I want you to know, not only was the sky darkened that day that he was crucified, but there was a battle that took place. Satan did not want, although Satan made it possible through manipulating people, and God overall had manipulated it, but Satan did not want the death of Christ. Did you know that today? Because he knew that if Christ died and shed his blood and gave himself, that mankind would have the opportunity to be liberated and set free. And that's why that he struggled in Gethsemane. That's why that he prayed, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If there be no other way, O Lord, I will take the cross." And you find out that he went willingly. Like Isaiah says in one place, he was led as a sheep before her shears, before sacrifice. When he gave himself, he tasted of death for every individual. You and I will never suffer what he went through. As our sins were laden upon him, one more burden beside the cross. As the sins were laden upon him today, he broke the power. He broke the dominion. He broke the slavery. I want to say this today. True slavery is a soul that is in bondage unto Satan today. That is the true bondage. That is the true slavery. But he broke that power when he shed his life's blood. My friend, it satisfied what was needed to redeem us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's what the Bible teaches today. My friend, not only did he shed his blood, not only did he break the power of sin, but my friend, he tasted of death for each and every individual. Someone has just argued and just debated and debated, and I don't know if he was really resurrected, but yet they cannot prove, and they cannot produce a body. They couldn't back then, they can't now. And I want to tell you something. Some wise guy is going to come up with a DNA sample and say, "See, here's Christ's DNA." Well, I'm not so sure about that, but I know, as Job said in one place, that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. Do you believe that today? My friend, he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he took away the keys of death from Satan. My friend, I want you to know he was able to stand in Matthew 28 and say, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." He's the great liberator. He is the great emancipator. My friend, I think about that song, and we used to kind of entertain our friends who were black, and we would sing the song along with them, but the song is based upon salvation, where that it says, free at last, thank God Almighty I'm free at last. And I can stand and tell you today, God saved and redeemed my soul. And I tell you, when I walked out of that store on a Sunday, I was as free as a bird. I was not afraid of being in a wreck. Still not afraid of it. I went home that day. Mom and Dad were asleep. And I didn't dare wake them up, but I sat down at the piano that evening, and I just kind of run my fingers over it. And you know, I'm so thankful for Sister Karen that she teaches music and has a love for music today, because you know, I just went up to the third grade, and then I grabbed my, after that, those years after that, I grabbed a ball glove and a football and a fishing reel. And sometimes, Sister Karen, I wish I would have gone on fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. But nevertheless, I sat down at that piano, and pretty soon my hands just started going like this. And God gave me a song. He gave me a song. He says, "I've anchored my soul," and I began playing that melody. "I've anchored my soul. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep over the wide stormy deep. In Jesus Christ, I am safe. I'm safe forevermore. And I can still play that. I can't play it quite as well as that first time, but I want to tell you something. It just blessed my heart because I could relate to the words of that song. What does it mean for us today to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made us free in? My friend, it's the same type of feeling, maybe a little bit different, whenever that I stand and I put my hand over my heart. And you can ask my wife, there are times whenever that we've said the Pledge of Allegiance at a ball game or whatever, and I just couldn't finish. I'd be so overcome with thanksgiving and with joy. My friend, I want to tell you something. It's the same thing with my salvation. Same thing. Now, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Now, in the founding of our country, there were three types of people in the colonies. There were those that realized that for that fledgling nation to go forth, that they needed to formulate a government not to enslave them again, but to give everyone ample opportunity to be able to develop as God wanted them to develop. Honestly, that's what they want. That's why that they sat down and very meticulously begin to forge it out. That was, my friend, those that were truly liberated. Then there were those that were loyalists. Oh, we don't want to go against King George. We don't want them coming over here. And no telling what they'll do to us. So we'll just bind ourselves. And if possible, and if it be so, be in bondage unto him. And I've got nothing against them whatsoever. The Tories were just, they didn't know what to do. They were fearful. They were worried. But nevertheless, later on, they were able to enjoy the same freedom that everybody else did. Then there were those, my friend, that were just, we would term them today as being kind of like a little bit on the anarchist side. They had been in bondage unto Great Britain for so long that we don't want any government. And there were some rebellions that took place even after that the country was formed. But nevertheless, God took care of that. And you know, it's no different in the life of a child of God. There are those today, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, I'm just telling you the categories. But there are those today that have been set free. They stand in the liberty of Christ. And yet, they'll live like the devil. In other words, they go back into the very bondage that they were liberated in. You might think that that's a silly thing, but no, that's what they do. Paul talks about it over in the book of first chapter of Romans and says that they live a lasciviousness life. That is, no holes barred, I've been set free, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I'll just go and live however I want to. They become in bondage under the flesh, the dictates of the flesh. And I want to tell you something today. A person that gets into that kind of shape, my friend, it takes a while to get back and to repent and to get back in touch with God and decide to serve him. And there are those that want to be in bondage, and they think today of rules, regulations. Do this, don't do this, don't do that. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not contradictory to what I just said. But my friend, there are those that go, two categories that go right back into bondage. even after they've been set free. But my friend, I want you to know why Christ has set us free. He set us free so that we might use our freedom to serve one another. Did you know that? My greatest joy is whenever I can do something for one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. My greatest joy oftentimes is whenever that I bow my knees and I begin to pray using that list of all the members' names. I begin to pray over it. And I go through it and I think about the many prayer requests that they have been made. And I want to tell you, that's what God does for me. He liberates me so that we can, in love, serve one another. And my friend, that we can do it with all of our heart. I encourage you today, love one another. Now, not that you don't, but don't let anything break that bond that you have with one another. Do you know that that person sitting across the aisle next to you in the pew, you're closer to them as being related in the spirit to them? Now, I know you've got aunts and uncles and maybe grandparents, parents and grandchildren and so on and so forth. And I'm not trying to say that that's bad in any fashion. But today, we are bound together by the love and by the blood of Christ Jesus today. You could say that we're blood kin. You ever heard the term blood kin? My friend, this is very binding. This is don't let anybody break that bond that you have with him. You can have freedom in Christ to serve one another by the grace and by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, in what way? You've got him as an example. You've got him that went about, the Bible says in the book of Acts, doing good. Jesus went about doing good. You might say, well, that's kind of silly. Of course he did good. But my friend, think about it. He couldn't do bad. There was no way that he would do evil. He just kept right on doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight unto the blind and unto those that were infirm. My friend, we can't raise the dead. We can't, my friend, do some of the miracles that he did, but I want you to know we can serve one another in love, and that's one of the greatest witnesses unto the world that there is. Makes people wonder why, you know, look at this, how they love one another, how they serve one another, how they serve the community. Look at that, you know. Do you realize that what you do here has a far-reaching effect? Has for quite a while. It has an effect upon this community. And I want to say this. I'm not here to butter up anybody. My friend, this church does far more than many of the churches in the gospel going forth. If there's a need in a missionary, we all come together and we deliberate, okay, we're going to help Brother so-and-so over in Ghana or over in India or wherever the case might be. Or you get a phone call that Brother so-and-so is sick, that he's had a heart attack. And my friend, the prayer chain just blossoms out. And people begin to pray. And they begin to send texts to me. They say, thank you for letting us know we'll be praying for that individual. We are blessed. And what we are blessed with, let's take and bless the others that are in the world, one another. I want to read some scripture to you today that shows you how blessed that we are. And I'm going to close. Psalms 103, first verse. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And read this chapter whenever that you get discouraged or Satan has been on your doorstep or he's put his slimy arms around you to tell you that you're not loved, that the people don't care about you, or whatever the case might be. Read this scripture before that you go any further. Forget not all of his benefits. Do you know that it pays to serve God? It doesn't cost. It pays to serve God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You get tired, you get worn out, you wonder, how am I going to go on? You know, there's something about the Lord. It's just like, you know, he gives us that extra caffeine boost, but he's better than caffeine. I saw a t-shirt one time that says, have coffee with Jesus. And I thought, wow, you'll be supercharged because you'll have the caffeine and you'll have the Holy Spirit dealing with you and pushing you along. The Lord God executeth righteousness and judgment for all those who are oppressed. And he hath made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous, that means plentiful, in mercy. One time, Moses took the children of Israel aside. They'd been given manna. They'd been given quail. It's a wonder that God didn't give them pheasant under glass, or big steaks or whatever, because he provided everything that they needed. Even their clothes, he provided for that. But Moses took them aside one time and he said, is there any that has a controversy, or has God treated you bad? Has God treated you in an unbecoming way? And you know, out of those millions of people, there was not one. And you know, all they could do is just offer up, well, Moses, you're right. And so, this country being blessed the way that it is, this country having all the blessings, yes, I know there are problems. Yes, I know there are controversies. Yes, I know there are debates. Yes, I know there's arguments in Congress. But it's always kind of been that way. That's part of the freedom that we have. Now, sometimes it may get a little out of hand, because in one of the debates back years ago, I can't remember if it was Thaddeus Stevens or what, but in one of the debates in Congress, Thaddeus took up a cane and began to go after somebody he disagreed with. So fighting in Congress is not new. Probably wasn't anything new in the days of the Greeks and the days of the Romans. But that's part of our freedom. We can sit down. God said in one place, come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. Let's do it in love. And my friend, as our iron sharpens iron, we're working towards a solution. We're working towards a betterment of people today. We're working towards the gospel. My friend, the most important thing is the gospel. Because I'll guarantee you today, when the gospel gets a hold of the heart of an individual, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. Oh man, I can't stop. But anyway, He has blessed you. Take the strength that He has given. Serve one another in love. Help one another in love. Help those that are in need in love. Help the individual that's downcast. You all know the area very well, better than I do. Pray for the people. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for the lost. Pray for the biker that comes through, or so-and-so that has a Harley and dresses in leather and everything. Someone said one time, why should I pray for a biker? Because he's got a soul too. That's why you should pray for him. Yeah? Even pray for the ones carrying placards and signs and this and the other. Pray for them, because they need Jesus too. Pray for the Satanist. He especially needs Jesus. Pray for those that say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. There can't be a God. We've scientifically proved it. Pray for that individual that he'll see through that test tube and through that microscope. Who made that molecule? Who made it perfect in the way that it functions, in the way that it goes? Who did that? It didn't happen just on its own. I can tell you from experience, something made that chemical reaction work. Well, it's not a something, it's a somebody. As we close our few remarks, thank you for this day. Thank you today for this liberty that we have. Thank you today that you celebrate this liberty and remember this liberty and remember this freedom. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith a Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.